Hi, I'm David Gristwood, and I'm with David Chappell here, and we're at the BAFTAs, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. But it's not an award ceremony we're doing, we've been running a cloud event. So I've been lucky enough to grab David just as he's come off stage here, and I want to ask him a couple of questions about his session. Firstly, David, the whole use of terminology of clouds and of infrastructure and of platform as a service. Now, you used a phrase around infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. Could you elaborate a little on that?
It's become really common, almost universal, to think about cloud platforms as IaaS and PaaS, in those two categories. I'm not crazy about them, but they become so common you can't fight against them anymore. The idea is that IaaS, infrastructure as a service, means generally that you get a virtual machine, you get a VM, and it's your VM. You've got total control. You've got root access, admin access. What's good about that is that you've got total control, do whatever you want. What's bad about that is that you've got total responsibility for administration. I always think of this as the Peter Parker principle from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. In PaaS, by contrast, you don't go to the platform and say, give me a VM. Rather, you say, platform, here's my app, run my app. And the platform runs your app. What's good about that is it's simple. You don't have to administer the environment. What's bad about that is you have less control. You cannot typically install arbitrary software on a PaaS platform. And so, is IaaS better? Is PaaS better? Depends. They have different strengths and weaknesses, and both make sense, which is why in the cloud platform world, there are lots of examples in each category.
So one of the other classifications that people tend to throw around is public cloud and private cloud. Now, there's lots of nuances and stuff around that. Perhaps you could explore a little bit about what they mean and what the differences are.
The private-public distinction is also one that's commonly made. The challenge is that people don't use the words in the same way. Public cloud's pretty clear. Public cloud means a cloud platform that can be accessed by all kinds of organizations. So, for example, with Windows Azure or Google App Engine or Amazon Web Services, I go to the website with a credit card, I can use their services. Great. That's a public cloud. That's very clear. Private cloud platforms are more confusing, however. Here's how I've come to see that. Pretty much everybody today has VMs, virtual machines, in their data centers. The notion of private cloud most often means the ability to work with those VMs more effectively, to allocate them on a more granular basis, like per hour, to charge for them on that more granular basis, like per hour, to have a self-service mechanism, like a website, to allocate those VMs. Well, you know, that's exactly what IaaS means in public cloud platforms. So in a very real sense, I think of private cloud platforms as essentially being IaaS in your data center. And if you think about what people are doing today in data centers, they're building VMs with Hyper-V, with VMware. Well, both of those vendors, Microsoft and VMware, are advancing their technologies for creating and working with virtual machines to let you do things like allocate VMs by the hour, charge back by the hour, allocate them through a website. They're effectively making their platforms into IaaS in your data center. So, I would argue that anybody who today has VMs in their data center, tomorrow, or at least maybe a few years from now, is going to have a private cloud in their data center. Private clouds are just the evolution of today's virtualized data center. One last point. I know people who would argue that private clouds are a migration step to public clouds. I'm not sure I'd buy this, because private clouds have value all by themselves. It's useful to be able to have this flexibility in your data center. But what you're missing with private clouds is one of the core aspects of public clouds, which is true cloud economics. In a public cloud, I literally pay for, say, the VM, just the hours I use it. In a private cloud, they're all my machines. I pay all the time. That means the kinds of scenarios that make sense for a public cloud might in fact differ from those for a private cloud. I just don't think it's really accurate to think of public and private as related in a very common way. Technically, there are often strong similarities, but they're different, the benefits are different. The way we should approach them, I think, is also different.
So David, you mentioned scenarios, and I know that over the last year you and I have both been talking to customers and partners about lots of Azure-specific scenarios, and it's been some interesting discussions. Can we start off, first of all, by focusing on what are some scenarios that you wouldn't use Windows Azure for?
Something I find a lot is that CIOs look at Windows Azure and they think, oh, a cloud platform run in massive, scalable, cheap Microsoft data centers. I could take my existing apps and move them to Azure and run them more cheaply and save money. Great. Except that this is not an Azure scenario. In its first incarnation anyway, Windows Azure doesn't really let you take existing apps and move them unchanged, at least not packaged apps. And the reason is that Windows Azure won't let you run things in the first incarnation that require admin mode to install or run. And packaged apps from ISVs, pretty much all, require admin mode, at least to install. So in my experience, there's often the desire to do that. But that is not an Azure scenario. That is not, at least in the current version, something people should look to Azure to do.
So, of course, then the obvious next question has to be, what are the scenarios in which you really play to Azure's strength?
In my experience, the core Azure scenarios are these. First of all, an app that needs massive scale. One of the big reasons that Azure was built, Microsoft tells us, was to eventually support Microsoft's own web properties. And they require enormous scale. Hotmail requires massive scale. Hotmail's not on Azure yet, but maybe someday it'll be there. So an app that needs massive scale is clearly an Azure candidate. Another example is an app that needs great reliability. Think again about the requirements of Microsoft's own web properties. Hotmail can never go down. So if and when it appears on Azure at some point, Azure must support this kind of perfect reliability. And so Azure has built in things to update the app while it's running, to update Windows while the app still runs. Apps that must run all the time are good Azure candidates. So for example, an ISV that wants to build a cloud version of an app, a software as a service, a SaaS app, might choose to build it on Azure for scale, for reliability. There are some more examples. A classic cloud scenario is an app that requires varied, varied demand. So for example, an app that sells tickets to sporting events or concerts is going to have big spikes when things go on sale and big declines when they're sold out. To provision a data center to handle that big spike is very expensive. The machine's empty most of the time. Makes a lot more sense, probably, to use a cloud platform for that. A related idea is if I want to do parallel processing, cloud platforms can be great because, again, for data analysis, financial modeling, I can spin up VMs in Azure as I need them, shut them down when I'm done, and pay just for what I want. Again, that kind of big spike and decline makes great economic sense for a public cloud platform like Azure. And there are some more. Startups, for example. Startups find Azure really attractive because it is so inexpensive to get going on this platform. There's no commitment. Two guys, a laptop and a credit card, have access to a global class data center. Cloud platforms really democratize access to computing power. It's a great thing. Oh, one more example. Have you heard this? My understanding is that there are some organizations in which the business side of the house and the IT group don't always get along so well. And so in firms like that, I've talked to business guys who love the cloud platform idea, like Azure, because it lets them do stuff that just avoids their IT people. And if you're an IT guy and you're thinking, well, gee, that's kind of a threat to me. Hey, you're right. You are right. Cloud platforms are absolutely a competitor in some ways to in-house IT departments. So I think it makes all of us step up our game to some extent. And one last scenario. I find that people often want some relatively easy entry point, some low-risk way to start using the cloud. One example of that can be cloud storage. Just put blobs up there. Just take an app that runs on SQL Server today, departmental app, for example, put the data in SQL Azure. Might be cheaper, lower admin costs, better for a variety of reasons. So I think just using cloud storage can be attractive as well. Those are a few of the scenarios that I see most commonly attractive to people for using Windows Azure.
Right, so let's pick up on that very last thing about threat, opportunity. How have people been reacting, and how does it differ if you're a developer, an IT pro? What's involved here?
Well, if you're a developer, I think that cloud platforms are a good thing for you. You design and build apps that work on premises, work on the cloud, more options, more opportunities. I think your role remains much as it is. If you're an IT pro, if your job is administering existing Windows Server systems, if your job is administering Exchange, the reality is that to the extent the cloud succeeds, your role will diminish. If the cloud is successful, and I believe it will be, then at least the growth in IT pros will be attenuated, stunted. And it's plausible to imagine that we'll have a lot fewer IT pros 10, 15 years from now than we do today. It's the nature of our business. If you don't like change, don't work in technology.
Exactly. David, thank you very much indeed.